Please open your Bibles to the book of Job, chapter 13. 13th chapter of Job, page 577, if yours is a Scofield Reference Bible. We'll read a couple of verses from this chapter. We'll turn to yet another chapter in the book. And another scripture reference even following that. Job chapter 13, we'll be reading verse 3 together, and then we'll read verse 15 together. As is our custom, let's all stand for the reading of God's Word. Begin with me, please, chapter 13, verse 3. Surely I would speak to the Almighty, and I desire to reason with God. And now verse 15, let's read it together. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him, but I will maintain mine own ways before him. Turn now to the 23rd chapter of Job. Job chapter 23 and verse 4, page 584. And let's read that fourth verse together. Ready? I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. Turn now to the next book, the book of Psalms, the 44th Psalm. Psalm 44, page 620 in your Scofield Bible. We'll read the ninth verse. Psalm 44, 9. And let's read it together. But thou hast cast off and puttest to shame and goest not forth with our armies. And let's pray. Father, what a marvelous occasion it is to start now the celebration of 100 years, this great church. Thank you for First Baptist. Thank you for that for which she stands. Thank you for that which is true of her message, her hope, the gospel that's preached. Thank you for the fact that it's touched so many in so many places around this country and around the world. Bless now, we pray, the preaching of the Word once more in this place at this hour. Bless with power, I pray, the preacher and each and every one who's here. Please help them to listen. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our Heavenly Father, I come to represent you now for a few minutes. I will not be able to speak adequately to tell of thy wonder or of thy goodness or thy mercy. With stuttering lips and a feeble tongue and a mind that's governed by humanity and a body that's often too weak, I come to try to bring words of thee. I wish I had a body that was glorified, and a mind that was like yours, and a tongue like the angels' tongues, but I don't. And so we'll have to take something so sweet and pure as thy message and place it in a weak vessel, much like the cart of David. But I'll do the best I can to speak. I pray that those who hear will do the best they can to hear and listen. In Jesus' name, amen. For 100 years this November, somebody who believes or believed this book has stood behind this pulpit or another like it within 2 blocks of where I stand now and proclaim the message of God's goodness. For 28 of those years, this August 30th, it's been my privilege to fill this pulpit. I usually come telling you the wonderful news that God will forgive you. And that is a wonderful thing. God offers forgiveness and pardon to sinners such as you and me. But this morning, I'm going to change the message. And I've got a sneaking suspicion I'm going to preach a truth that has never been voiced exactly like this in the 100 years of our church's history. I'm going to speak this morning on the subject, why don't you forgive God? Why don't you forgive God? You say, preacher, you mean, why doesn't God forgive me? No, I'm speaking on the subject, why don't you forgive God? But you say, Brother Hiles, God has never done anything wrong. You're exactly right. We have a wonderful God. He's never done anything wrong. But most people think He has. And since most people think He has, I'm asking you to forgive Him. Forgive Him for doing wrong? No. When it was said of Job, and nobody needs to tell you all the problems that Job had, Job said, I want to argue with you. He said numbers of times to God, I want to argue with you. Now you shortchange me. And finally he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Now I want you to follow that word very carefully. Job knew that murder was wrong. Job was saying, if God kills me. Now Job knew he didn't deserve it. But he's saying, if God kills me, please take the baby out immediately. Please, wherever the baby is, take him out. Don't wait to package anything up. Take him out immediately, please. Job said, if he slay me, he said, if he does wrong, I'll forgive him. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Now, I'm not entertaining for a single moment this morning the possibility that God does wrong. I'm not entertaining for a single moment the possibility that there's one flaw in the character of God. And certainly, I'm not entertaining the possibility at all that there could have ever been any sin in the body or mind of our lovely Lord. But I am saying this. Job felt that God had given him the short chain. And Job finally said, in fact, after he says, and though we'll not look at it now, but when you get home, you can. After he says, in verse 13 of Job 13, or verse 15 of Job 13, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. In the next verse, he says, I'm still going to argue with him, or reason with him. I still want to talk to him about it. Still want to find out what's going on here. But he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Now follow me carefully. Most of the people in this room this morning have something against God. You've been shortchanged. Now, you see, you've got to forgive him before you can trust him. Let me explain what I mean. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those that are called according to his purpose. So, who finds out? And when do you find out that all things work together for good? After you love God. You don't find out before. You find out after. So before, if you think God has mistreated you, you come to a place where it's okay, I'm going to forgive him. It looks like to me he's done wrong. I know God doesn't do wrong, but it looks like to me he has. I can't see what he's done. I can't understand or comprehend what he's done. But I'm going to... The word forgive means send away. I'm going to send away any feeling I have. I'm going to get the feeling out of my heart against God. Then you trust him. Then you love him. And then you find out all things work together for good to those who love God. You see, it is after you love him when you find out that things work together for good. And when you find out how good God really is. It is after... By the way, that's why most people are saved. Most folks don't get saved. They don't get saved because they do not realize how wonderful our God is. And you're not going to realize how wonderful he is until you forgive him and trust him. And then after you love him, then you do his will, then you'll find that all things work together for good. But you're not going to sit there and say, hey, I understand why all this bad stuff's been coming to me. Now trust the Savior. The Bible didn't say that. The Bible didn't say that they saw to believe. It said they believed to see. In Psalm 27:13, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. What is it? First you believe, and then you see. And what I'm saying this morning, and what Job is saying here, Job is saying, I don't understand what God has done. I can't figure out what God has done. And it looks like to me that God has not been good to me, but, he said, I'm going to forgive him. What does that mean? I'm going to send away my feeling against him. I'm going to quit charging up against God a negative. That's what he's saying. He's saying, I lost my sheep, and I charged that against God. I lost my oxen, I charged that against God. I lost my donkeys, I charged that against God. I lost my camels, I charged that against God. I lost my health, I charged that against God. I lost my children, I charged that against God. I lost my wife's loyalty, I charged that against God. I lost it all, I charged it against God. And then he came to the place where he said, I still don't understand him, and I don't understand what's happened to me, but I'm not going to feel against God like I felt anymore. I'm going to believe that what God does is right, and I'm going to forgive him. I'm going to wipe the slate clean as far as my charges against him. I'm going to withhold my charges against God. And then you trust him, and then you get to know him, and to know him is to love him, and to love him is to see that all things work together for good to those who love God. And this morning, I come to those of you who've never trusted Christ, and I say, forgive God. Scratch all your charges off. You say, I want to see first. You won't see first. You'll die and go to hell if you wait to see. But you believe, and then you'll see. I have fainted unless I believe to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. First you believe. His name was Boyd. B-O-I-D. He lived at 137 Avenue F Street. In Garland, Texas. It's been good night. It's been 34 years ago. I knocked on his door one Thursday night. He came to the door and I said, Mr. Boyd, my name is Jack Hiles. I'm from Miller Road Baptist Church. He said, I'm not interested. I'm an atheist. And I said, Mr. Boyd, could I come in? He said, come on in. A little girl, I said, a little girl, she looked like she was 8 or 10. Sort of walked up, and it's obvious that she was sort of a spastic little girl and mentally retarded. And I said, Mr. Boyd, do you know if you died, you'd go to heaven? He said, I don't believe in all that stuff. Don't believe in heaven. Don't believe in hell. I don't believe in God. And I said, yes, you do. He said, answer that. Answer that! He pointed to that little girl standing there, shaking all over like that. Her mind had her little eyes had a mongoloid look. He said, don't tell me there's a just God. Why would he do that? And I said, Mr. Boyd, I cannot convince you now that God is good unless you take my word for it. Because you'll never know the goodness of God until you love him. And when you love him, you'll know his goodness. But if somehow you could see in my face tonight, and in these tears that roll down my cheeks tonight, if somehow you could see the love of Christ. And let me tell you that God is good. And let me say this, doubters and folks who are bitter against God, and I understand why you'd feel that way. I mean, why this afflicted child? Why this unemployment? Why this disease? Why did my husband die? Why did my husband run off with somebody else? Why would God let this happen? If I could just tell you from the other side of the fence this morning that we have a good God. And if you just trust me enough to believe him and take him as your Savior and love him, then you would believe to see the goodness of God. You've got to believe those of us on the other side of the fence. You're over here unsaved. You can't see. Why? You have not believed. Well, I'll believe when I see. No, you won't either. You'll die and suffer eternity in hell forever if you don't first believe. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And I said, Mr. Boyd, God's a wonderful God. Why don't you forgive him? When I said that, That very fine-looking man, must have been 30-ish, 35 maybe, young businessman, he pulled up like that and said, "What did you say?" I said, "Why don't you forgive God?" And he said, "What's God ever done bad?" And he said, then he shook himself and he said, "I'm still an atheist." And I said, "Mr. Boyd, you've been very nice to me. You've not been unkind to me. Let me just tell you the story of Christ." And I told him the old Roman road way to heaven. "Wonderful story of love, tell it to me again. Wonderful story of love, wake the immortal strand. Angels with rapture announce it. Shepherds with wonder receive it. Sinner, oh, won't you believe it?" And I told him. I said, "Now, Mr. Boyd, would you let me pray?" He said, "You can pray, but I'm an atheist." And I bowed my head. And I put my hand on his shoulder. And I said, "Oh, God, Mr. Boyd doesn't know how good you are, but I do. And I pray you'd help him just to believe me. Take my word for it, how good you are. And what you do is always right." When I finished praying, I said, "Mr. Boyd, wouldn't you pray?" And the first words he prayed were these, "Dear God, I forgive you. I forgive you." You say, that makes it sound like God is bad. No, Mr. Boyd thought God was bad. And so the first thing Mr. Boyd had to do was erase his charges against God. Now you say, "Well, Brother House, I'm bitter against God. I didn't bargain for this," said one person. One lady said, "God sent me here, and look at the mess I'm in." Someone else said, "It isn't fair. God, do you even care?" Somebody else said, "I didn't ask to come." And somebody else said, "Where were you, God, when I needed you? Why didn't ask to come here? Why would you send me to hell when I die if I didn't even ask to come here?" I'm saying, I know that. But look, we're down here on earth, and we hurt, we pain, we suffer, and we don't understand a lot of things, and our children are sick, and our loved ones are ill, and our children die, and our jobs are lost, and unemployment comes, and recession comes, and nervousness comes, and we're about to fall apart emotionally. And we look up and say, "How could our God, who's just and good, how could he let all these things happen?" All I can say to you is if you loved him, you'd understand. But you won't understand till you love him. That's the thing about it. You've got to believe first, and then you see. You say, well, why can I believe? How can I believe? Trust us. We're over here on this side of the fence. We trusted him. We know him. We know what a wonderful God he is. I said a while ago before I left my office, I said, "You're a wonderful God, and I love you." And he is. He is a wonderful Savior, as they sang a while ago. He is a wonderful God, and he is a perfect God. Erase all the charges against him. Mr. Boyd said, "I forgive you, God. I forgive you." And then he said, I said, "Now you ask him to forgive you." And he said, "Oh, God, forgive me." And then as soon as he prayed that prayer, he looked up and he said these words to me, almost word for word. He said, "Now I know why she's afflicted. To get me saved." He believed to see. He forgave God. God forgave him. But the first thing you do is you erase all the charges you've got against God. You say, "I'm bitter against God. He took my baby." Okay, erase that charge. Try it. Try it. Hey, try it. I'll guarantee it. I'll refund your money. No, I won't do that, but I'll guarantee it. We have a good God. He said, "It doesn't look very good to me." I know. You don't have the binoculars on. You've got to first believe. And when you believe, God gives you then the binoculars whereby you can see. But you say, "Why believe?" Trust those of us who have believed. And once you have believed, and then all of a sudden you will say, "As Mr. Boyd, now I know." I got a letter one time. Said, "Dear Brother Hiles, I've been bitter at you, but I'm forgiving you." Well, of course I hadn't done anything. You know that. But really, I had not done what he said I did. And I say this subjectively and earnestly and sincerely without any prejudice at all. Every time anybody has ever had a fuss with me, it's been their fault. Have you noticed the same thing in your life? But in this case, I hadn't done anything. It's probably the only case where I hadn't done anything. He said, Brother Hiles, I'm bitter at you, but I'm forgiving you. And I wrote back and I said, thank you so much for forgiving me. I didn't say, what did I do? That's what most of us think. What did I do? I didn't do anything. Oh, listen, it's good to be forgiven even if you haven't sinned. What he's saying was, I'm erasing these charges against you. That's what he's saying. I mean, even if I hadn't done it, he thought I'd done it, and to realize that he's erased the charges is a wonderful feeling. And then I saw him several months later in a place where I was preaching around the country. And he walked up to me and he said, Dr. Hiles, he said, did you get my letter saying I was forgiving you? And I said, I sure did, and I want to thank you for it. He said, you didn't do anything. I said, oh, I didn't. And, no, you didn't do anything. He said, would you forgive me? And I said, I sure will. You forgave me, didn't you? God comes this morning, and God wants to show you how good He is. And God wants to reveal to you His goodness. But you can't see it, because we know that all things work together for good to those who love God. You've got to love Him first, then you'll see. So I say, believe us. Look, I'm not trying to get you in my church this morning. I'm not trying to get my hand in your pocketbook. I'd rather have your check. But I'm not trying to get my hand in your pocketbook. I don't want your money. I'm not trying to do that. I want you to go to heaven when you die. But if you ever go to heaven when you die, you're going to have to one of these days trust somebody who's already over there to tell you that God is good and ask you to erase your charges against God and forgive God and erase the indictment and quit convicting God and let God go free. Then you trust Him. Well, then you'll have a pair of glasses like we do and you can see how great our God really is. Don't be bitter. I was reading last night, 2 Corinthians, over here where it says, all things are of God who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ. Notice that. Didn't say He's reconciled Himself to us. God didn't say that He came to reconcile Himself to us. No, He came to reconcile us to Him. Why? Because God is God, and God would forgive us as soon as justice was meted out. But He had to send Paul to try to get us to take our charges away from God. Listen, the minute you, on Calvary, your charges are all cared for. All you've got to do is believe in Christ, and all the charges are gone against you and never will be recorded against you, because you'll be justified in the sight of God Almighty. And your record will be as plain as the record of Jesus Christ. But now, here's the thing about it. You've got some charges against God. They're not true, but you got them. Now, why don't you wipe his slate clean? You got a pretty good deal there. If you wipe his slate clean, he'll wipe your slate clean. I tell you what, I've seen your slate and I've seen his. You got a pretty good deal there. I'd take him up in a hurry if I were you. I mean, I got a little bargain in me and I got a little traitor blood in me. You got a pretty good deal there. You wipe God's slate clean. You say, okay, I don't understand it. I don't understand this afflicted child. I don't understand my husband being an alcoholic. I don't understand us not having a job. I don't understand our poverty. I don't comprehend my husband leaving. I don't understand about my life. And I don't understand it. And I've been bitter. But I'm not going to be bitter anymore. I'm going to take all the charge of him. God, and I'm going to see if you'll tell him the truth, Hiles. You'll see. You'll see. Yeah, you believe to see the goodness of the Lord. But you won't see the goodness of the Lord until you believe. God doesn't come along and say, okay, I want to show you how good I am. And examine me and see how good I am. And then I hope you'll believe. No, that's not belief. He comes and says, you believe. And as soon as you believe, I'll let you see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Let me ask you a question. Suppose you're in heaven now. Suppose the Lord said, I need a volunteer to go back down on earth and live 70 years. Would you want to come back? You know why? Because you got a little bitterness in your heart against God. He hadn't given you a good shake while you're here. Let me ask you a question. If you could go back and choose the time and place that you were born, Would you choose the time and place you were born? Would you choose your nose all over again? Stan, your nose is just not the right color. It's a pretty nose, but it's wrong color. Yeah, it's all over your face too, Stan. That's the goodness of God. Now I'm doubting God. I forgive him. Would you choose your parents? Would you choose your circumstances? But you say, Brother Hiles, I had a broken home. So did I. But you know, if I had the chance of starting over again, if I could choose any mother I could choose, I'd choose Coastal Mattie Hiles. And if I had any father to choose, I'd choose Willis Athey Hiles. He was an alcoholic. Died an unsaved death. But I'd choose him. You know why? Because I believed in God. And I love him. And now that I love him, looking back towards him, from where I am now, I realize how good he is. God is a good God. Don't indict him. Don't convict him. Erase all the charges. Forgive him. Take the charges away. Believe in him. Trust us. And take him by faith. He makes you his own child. When you realize he's wiped your slate clean, you sure will be glad you wiped his clean, I'll guarantee you. When I was a boy, I'm going to confess something. I've only confessed once or twice and never in this church. I wouldn't get saved for a long time. When I was a kid, I grew up in the church. I mean, I was just always in church. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. We had a revival. We used to call them study courses in Southern Baptist churches. I was always there. If the preacher was there, Mama and I were there, and we walked all the time there and walked back. And no matter what kind of weather it was, we walked to church and walked back. Always there. And all the kind of kids that I was, most of them got saved when they were six, but I didn't. Ones didn't get saved when they were six, got saved when they were seven, but I didn't. I was the kind of kid that First Baptist Church Hammond got saved and baptized. He was 5 years old, but I didn't. Kids didn't get saved when they were seven, got saved when they were eight, but I didn't. Kids didn't get saved when they were eight, got saved at nine, but I didn't. I didn't get saved till I was almost 11 years old. You know why I didn't? Because I used to sit in church as a little boy, and I'd see those father and a mother and children. And I was bitter. That's some charges against God. I saw those little boys had on shoes, and I knew where my shoes went. My shoes went to the bartender in the tavern. I knew that. And I used to say, if there's a God, why'd he treat me like this? And then one day, a little lady about 5 foot tall, white hair, named Hazelwood, walked up to me in a church service and she said, Jackie boy, did you know that the WMS of our church had a special call meeting this week just to pray that you'd get saved? They did. Just to pray that little old 11-year-old boy would get saved. That's right. And Miss Hazelwood said, Jackie boy, Jesus loves you and so do we, and we want to see you saved. And I said, okay, I'm a believer that God's good. And I'd like to stand up as a 60-year-old man this morning and looking back on it, and I'd like to thank God for every meal we didn't have. I'd like to thank God for every pair of shoes I never owned. I'd like to thank God for every little shack we lived in, every outhouse we ever had. I'd like to thank God for poverty. Why? Because as I look back on it now that I love him, and I'm in his will and serve him, I can see how good our God is. God is good. That's all I'm trying to say this morning. God's good. I want you to believe God is good. 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 That's all I'm trying to tell you. God is good. Erase all your charges. Then you'll see how good he really is. As a teenager, I wouldn't turn to preach. I said, it's not fair. And I wouldn't do it. I couldn't go with the church parties. I couldn't afford them. I wore dirty old, old hand-me-down clothes and feed sacks made into shirts. And other kids had decent clothes. And I said, that's not right. That's not fair. And God called me to preach a long time before I surrendered. I wouldn't do it because I had some charges against God. Until a dear Sunday school teacher named Proctor Boyd. I'll never forget him. Put his arms around me. And he said, Jackie Boy, they call me. He said, you're a fine young man. He said, one of these days you're going to see that God was good to you. He was vice president of the local bank. And because of Proctor Boyd, I erased all my charges against God. I forgave him. And now, as a 60-year-old man, having preached for 40 years, I'd like to tell you how good God is. As a preacher, pastor of a Baptist church, I got the news that my daddy had died an alcoholic's death without Christ. And I put the phone down and I said, that's not fair. That's not fair. That's not right. That's not fair. You know I love you. And you know I'm serving you. And you know I'm trying to do right. Now that's not right. But I forgave. Oh, not that God did me wrong. But one day I said, I'll trust him. And when I trusted him and wiped his slate clean, the hardest thing I've ever had to see, I could see. God's a good God. Take all the charges. Drop charges. Drop your charges. You say, if I ever see it's right, you'll never see it's right till you see through the eyes of God because you have no seer. You don't have the wherewithal to see. Take my word this morning. I don't know who you are tucked away in the corner, the balconies. I don't know who you are tucked away back in the back of the building. I don't know who you are. And I don't know what charges you have against God this morning, but I know hundreds of people in this room have charges against God. I know that. Could I, from this side of the fence, look back over and say, hey, neighbor, I know exactly how you feel. You name it. And I probably had to face it. Unemployment? Yeah. Broken home? Yeah. Poverty? Yeah. Hunger? Yeah. Enemies? Yeah. Name it. I'd like to look back over the fence to you and say to you that sit there without God this morning, I'd like to say God's a good God. He's a wonderful God. And one of these days, if you will now take your charges, forgive Him. Forgive Him. Drop charges against God! As soon as you do, and trust Him as your Savior, He'll drop all His charges against you. And then once the charges are dropped against you, you'll say, I love Him. And through the eyes of love and the will of God, you will find that all things do work together for good. To those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. All I've said this morning is we have a wonderful God. And I love Him. And I want you to love Him. And I want you to serve Him. And I want you to know Him. Father,